Welcome back. This episode is a companion to the glossary, so the goal is simple. Make GitHub words feel less mysterious when you hear them in a workshop, an issue, or a pull request.
I love a glossary episode because half the stress of open source is hearing a familiar word used in a very specific way. Like, I know what a branch is in a tree. Git has other plans.
Exactly. The glossary is there for quick lookup across the whole workshop. Terms are grouped by topic, and there is also an alphabetical quick reference near the end when you already know the word you need.
And the navigation tips matter. If you use a screen reader, headings are your friend here. Jump by headings, open the elements list, and type a few letters of the term.
If you use magnification, the term headings and the alphabetical table are useful because each row stands on its own. And anyone can use Ctrl+F in the browser to search directly for a word like remote, stash, or area.
Let's also say pronunciations as we go, because some of these terms are awkward when you only read them.
Yes, Git is pronounced with a hard G like get with an I sound. Repo is REPO, short for repository. Org is just org, short for organization. And PR is usually spoken as the letters PR, meaning pull request.
Good, my shoulders just dropped a little.
A repository, often shortened to repo, is the project container. It holds the files, folders, documentation, and the full history of changes.
So it is more than a folder, it is a folder with memory.
Write a repository on GitHub has an address like github.com, then the owner name, then the repo name. If the owner is a group account, that group is called an organization or org.
So in Microsoft/VSCode, Microsoft is the organization and VSCode is the repository.
Exactly. A fork is your personal copy of someone else's repository on GitHub. You use a fork when you do not have permission to write directly to the original project, but you still want to propose changes.
And clone is different from fork, right? That pair always trips people up.
Fork means a copy under your GitHub account. Clone means a copy on your computer where you can work in VS Code or another editor. A common workflow is fork the project on GitHub, then clone your fork to your computer.
Where do remotes fit into that?
A remote is a named connection from your local Git repository to a repository hosted somewhere else, usually GitHub. The remote named origin usually points to the repo you cloned from. If you cloned your fork, origin points to your fork.
And upstream is the original project you forked from.
Yes, you can see remotes with git remote v. You can add the original project as upstream with a command like git remote add upstream https://github.com/original/repo/git.
So local means on my computer, remote means hosted elsewhere, origin is usually my GitHub copy, and upstream is the original project.
That is the usual setup. You may also hear downstream, which means something based on another project. A fork is downstream from the original because it receives changes from that original source.
Before we leave the project container words, what is .gitignore?
Gitignore is a special file that tells Git not to track certain files. You use it for temporary operating system files, build outputs like /dist/or /build/, dependency folders like node modules / editor folders like vscode/, and secret files like env.
Important warning there, .gitignore does not magically erase something that was already committed.
Correct, it only ignores untracked files. If a file is already tracked by Git, you remove it from tracking with git rm cached filename, then add the pattern to gitignore, then commit that change. A branch is a separate line of development inside a repository. The main branch, usually called main, is often the stable version of the project.
And sometimes older projects use master, so if I hear that, it is also a branch name, not a different tool.
Right? Common branch names include main, sometimes develop, and then names like feature/addSearch/fix/brokenButton or docs/updateReadMe. The name should help people understand the purpose of the work.
Then a commit is the saved checkpoint.
Yes, a commit records a snapshot of changes, a message, the author, a timestamp, and a unique identifier called a SHA hash. SHA is often pronounced SHA, though spelling SH is also common.
Commit messages have a style too, don't they?
They do. A good message says what the change does, often in the imperative mood. Fix typo in readme, not fix typo or fixing typo. Longer commit messages can include a short title, a blank line, and then a body explaining why the change was made.
And a diff is how we inspect the change.
A diff, short for difference, shows what changed between two versions. Added lines are usually shown with a plus sign, removed lines with a minus sign, and unchanged lines appear as context.
That is what I am reading on the files change tab of a pull request.
Exactly, push, pull, and fetch are the movement words. Push sends your local commits up to a remote. Fetch downloads remote changes so you can inspect them. Pull fetches changes and then integrates them into your current branch.
So fetch is the cautious look, and pull is the update that changes my branch.
An issue is a discussion item in a GitHub repository. People use issues to report bugs, request features, ask questions, discuss ideas, and track work.
Issues also have numbers like number 42, and they can have labels, assignees, milestones, and comments.
Yes, a pull request, or PR, is a proposal to merge changes from one branch into another. It includes the branch information, the diff, a description of what changed and why, and a place for discussion.
The name still sounds a little odd. It means I am asking maintainers to pull my changes into their project.
That is exactly it. Review is the feedback process on a PR. A reviewer can leave a comment, approve the change, or request changes before it can be merged.
And good review is not just thumbs up or thumbs down. It should be kind, specific, and useful.
Yes, you may also see a draft PR. Draft means the work is visible, but the author is signaling that it is not ready for final review yet.
That is useful in learning settings too. A review-ready draft or a clear contribution plan can be real evidence that someone understands the workflow, even before a maintainer merges anything.
Merging is combining changes from one branch into another. GitHub projects may use a merge commit, squash and merge, or rebase and merge, depending on how they want the history to look.
And then there is the famous merge conflict.
A merge conflict happens when two branches change the same part of the same file in incompatible ways. Git pauses because it cannot decide which version should win.
Those conflict markers are the lines with less than signs, equal signs, and greater than signs.
Yes, you resolve the file by choosing the final content, removing the markers, saving the file, and committing the resolution. It feels intimidating the first time, but it is a normal collaboration moment.
Let's talk about the people words because GitHub is not just commands.
A maintainer is someone with responsibility for a repository, often with write or admin access. A contributor is anyone who helps, whether through code, docs, issues, design, testing, accessibility feedback, or review.
And a collaborator.
A collaborator is someone who has been granted access to work directly in a repository, usually more access than a typical outside contributor. Triage is the work of reviewing new issues, adding labels, asking clarifying questions, and routing work to the right place.
Labels are those colored tags, like bug, documentation, good first issue, or accessibility.
Right, a milestone groups issues and pull requests around a goal, such as a release or a workshop deadline. GitHub projects can organize work in boards, tables, and views so a team can track progress.
Community files are part of that collaboration picture, too.
They are. A README explains what the project is. A license tells people what they are allowed to do with the code. Contributing explains how to help. A code of conduct sets expectations for behavior.
And templates can guide issues and pull requests so people do not start from a blank box.
Exactly. You may also see security for reporting vulnerabilities, support for help channels, GitHub discussions for broader community conversations, a wiki for multi-page documentation, and gists for small shareable snippets.
What about the quick slang pile?
A few common ones. LGTM means looks good to me. WIP means work in progress. CI means continuous integration where automated checks run on changes. CD can mean continuous delivery or continuous deployment, depending on the project. Now for the Git terms that sound scarier than they usually are. Head, in all caps, is Git's pointer to your current branch or commit.
Detached head is the one that makes people wonder if they broke everything.
A detached head means you are looking at a specific commit instead of working on a branch. It can happen when you check out an old commit, a tag, or a commit hash directly.
What does that mean for my work?
You can look around safely, but new commits made there may be hard to find unless you create a branch. The fix is usually to create a branch at that point with git switch c branch name or switch back to an existing branch if you were only inspecting history.
Stash is another useful safety word.
Stash temporarily saves uncommitted changes so you can switch tasks or update your branch without committing unfinished work. A common flow is git stash, do the other task, then git stash pop to bring the changes back.
And if I want to see what I stashed?
Use git stash list. You can use git stash apply to reapply without removing the stash, or git stash drop when you are sure you no longer need it.
Rebase is where people get nervous.
Rebase replays your commits on top of another branch. Merge preserves the branch history and creates a merge point. Rebase can make history more linear, but it rewrites commit history.
So when is rebase reasonable?
It is usually reasonable on your own local branch before you share it, or when your team explicitly uses that workflow. Do not rebase shared branches casually, because rewriting history can disrupt other people's work.
And cherry pick.
Cherry pick copies one specific commit from one branch onto another. It is useful when you need one fix without bringing over every other change from that branch.
Force push sounds like the red button.
It deserves caution. Force push overwrites the remote branch with your local history. It may be needed after a rebase on your own branch, but it is not okay on shared branches unless the team has agreed.
There is a safer version, right?
Use force with lease instead of plain force push when you can. It checks whether someone else updated the remote branch before overriding it, which helps prevent accidental damage. A SHA or hash is the unique identifier for a commit or Git object. You will often see a short version, like 7 characters, in GitHub links and commit lists.
A tag is a name attached to a specific commit, often for a version.
Yes, a release builds on a tag and adds release notes, downloadable files, or other packaged information for users.
Then GitHub Actions is the automation system.
Right, an action runs workflows, and a workflow is an automated process defined in the repository. CI/CD workflows might run tests, check formatting, build documentation, or deploy a site.
And status checks are the pass or fail results that show up on a pull request.
Exactly. A status check might say the tests passed, the build failed, or an accessibility check needs attention. Maintainers often require important checks to pass before merging.
What is a webhook?
A webhook sends information to another service when something happens on GitHub, like a push, issue comment, or pull request event. It is a way to connect GitHub activity to other tools.
And profile.
Your GitHub profile is your public identity on GitHub. It can show your repositories, contributions, bio, links, and sometimes a profile README.
The glossary also needs the accessibility words we keep using in this series.
A screen reader is software that reads interface content aloud or sends it to a Braille display. NVDA, JAWS, VoiceOver, and TalkBack are common examples.
Landmarks and headings are navigation structure.
Yes, headings organize content by level, like heading level 1 for the page title and heading level 2 for major areas. Landmarks identify regions such as main content, navigation, search, and footer.
Area is pronounced AIREA, right?
Right, area stands for accessible rich internet applications. It can add accessibility information to custom interface elements, but native HTML should come first whenever it can do the job.
Focus is the current place my keyboard or assistive technology is interacting with.
Exactly, tab order is the path focus follows as you press tab. A good tab order matches the visual and logical reading order, does not trap people, and makes every interactive control reachable.
So when we review a page, we are not only asking whether it looks good, we are asking whether the structure and keyboard path make sense.
Yes, and whether names, roles, labels, error messages, and instructions are available to assistive technology. That is where careful issues and clear reproduction notes really help maintainers. Finally, the agent vocabulary. GitHub Copilot is an AI coding assistant. Depending on the environment, it may suggest code, answer questions, help explain errors, or help draft changes.
And an agent is a little more active than a simple suggestion box.
Yes, an agent can follow instructions, use tools, inspect files, and carry out a task within limits. You still review the output, test it, and decide what belongs in the project.
Slash commands are the short commands that start with a slash, like a shortcut in a chat or coding assistant.
Right, a prompt is the request you give the tool. An instruction file is a project-level guide that tells the assistant how to behave, such as coding style, testing expectations, accessibility requirements, or documentation tone.
This connects to the later accessibility agent work too.
It does. The accessibility agent's collection is a living catalog, so it grows over time. Challenge 15 is browse first, and learners do not need to fork that repository just to complete the discovery challenge.
Completing that discovery challenge unlocks the capstone project and the structured bonus path, right?
Yes, challenge 16 is titled Capstone Project. It can involve a contribution to accessibility agents, Glow, or another meaningful repository, and review-ready drafts or contribution plans can count as valid evidence of completion.
And day one contributions happen somewhere else.
They happen in the learning room repository, which is provisioned for each learner. That is where the issue, branch, commit, pull request, and merge workflow is practiced end-to-end.
Let's end with a quick pronunciation pass for the words people may only have read.
Git has a hard G. GitHub is GitHub, repo is REPO, org is org, PR is PR, SHA can be SHA or SHA.
More please.
Area is AIREA, CI/CD is CI/CD, YAML is often YAML. Gitignore is usually spoken as .gitignore, head is head, even though it is written in capital letters.
And when a term gets fuzzy, do not try to memorize every definition at once.
Look it up, read the nearby related terms, and connect it to the workflow you are doing right now. If a fact might have changed, use the official GitHub documentation, release notes, and linked references as the current source of truth.
That makes the glossary less like homework and more like a map you keep beside you.
Exactly. The win is not knowing every word before you start. It is being able to recover your place when a new term appears, then keep contributing with confidence.